तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। चैप्टर 5 वर्सेस 19-23। इहैव तैचित सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्माद्ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः। इहैव तैचित सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्माद्ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः। न प्रदृश्येत् प्रियं प्राप्य नोद्विजेत् प्राप्य चाप्रियं स्थिरबुद्धिरसम्मूढः ब्रह्मविद्ब्रह्मणि स्थितः। न प्रदृश्येत् प्रियं प्राप्य नोद्विजेत् प्राप्य चाप्रियं स्थिरबुद्धिरसम्मूढः ब्रह्मविद्ब्रह्मणि स्थितः। बाह्यस्पर्शेष्वसत्तात्मा विन्दत्यात्मनि यत्सुखम् सब्रह्मयोगयुक्तात्मा सुखमक्षयमश्नुते। बाह्यस्पर्शेष्वसत्तात्मा विन्दत्यात्मनि यत्सुखम् सब्रह्मयोगयुक्तात्मा सुखमक्षयमश्नुते। ये हि संस्पर्शजा भोगाः दुःखयोनय एव ते आद्यन्तवन्तकौन्तेय न तेषु रमते बुधः। ये हि संस्पर्शजा भोगाः दुःखयोनय एव ते आद्यन्तवन्तकौन्तेय न तेषु रमते बुधः। शक्नोतीहैव यः सोढुम् प्राक्शरीरविमोक्षणात् कामक्रोधोद्भवं वेगम् सयुक्तः सुखेन रः। शक्नोतीहैव यः सोढुम् प्राक्शरीरविमोक्षणात् कामक्रोधोद्भवं वेगम् सयुक्तः सुखेन रः। Very famous off-quoted verse, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunish Chaiva Shvapa Kecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. The wise view equally, a Brahmana endowed with learning and humility, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and even an outcast. He says, wise person, what is the sign of a wise person? The sign of a wise person is equality. It is not as if he doesn't see the difference, but he doesn't identify with the difference. He identifies with what makes him see the difference. It is not what you see, but what makes you see, that is the truth. It is not what you hear, what makes you hear, that is the truth. What makes us see what we hear, that is the pure consciousness which is the same in each one of us. What we call as divinity. So he identifies the divinity within. Hence, in spite of the differences, even vast difference, like a Brahmana and a Shvapaka. And the definition of a Brahmana given here is Vidya Vinaya Sampanni. One who has both Vidya and Vinaya. Vidya means knowledge, Vinaya means humility. It is not just the information. Along with the information, one has the humility as well. Like Einstein said, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? In any field, even if we are PhD in that field, what we know compared to what we don't know is nothing. So, realizing that and maintaining that humility, no ego whatsoever, such a person, another person who has no information, highly egoistic, etc., whatever might be the differences externally, but he treats them, views them equally with him. Even with reference to animals, not just with reference to human beings. Various things, some of them are very useful, some of them are not very useful, some of them are, precious, whatever it might be. Inside, he has the equal vision. That is the test of development. Next verse.
Can you just repeat that one line? It is not what you see, but what?
Makes you see. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. Verse number 19.
Ihaivatayujitasargah Yesham samye sthitam manah Yesham samye sthitam manah Nirdosham hi samam brahma Nirdosham hi samam brahma Tasmat brahmani te sthitah Tasmat brahmani te sthitah Ihaivatayujitasargah Yesham samye sthitam manah Nirdosham hi samam brahma Tasmat brahmani te sthitah.
Even here, birth is overcome by those whose mind rests in evenness. Brahman is indeed spotless and equal. Therefore, they are established in Brahman. So now, having talked about yogi, sannyasi, jnani, he is now talking about a person who has reached the state of jnana. And he is saying he has equal vision and he has overcome birth here. What is, when he says he has overcome birth, what do you understand from that statement? What does it mean when you say philosophically one overcomes birth?
The cycle of life and
okay.
Like rebirth or whatever, punya, papa,
okay,
all of that. So you overcome that and you're just living your life. Nothing is making a difference to you.
When you say punya, rebirth and all that, that is with reference to the next birth. Now, how does it help us in any way? You may say, I may believe, I may not believe in rebirth. How much ever some theory is given supporting rebirth. Now, in this birth, how does it matter if one has overcome birth? What is overcoming birth with reference to this verse mean, this life mean?
Nothing makes a difference, he goes on, untouched by anything.
When you say nothing makes a difference, can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
I think he's figured that he is separate and he's doing his karma, and whatever is happening is more like the projector, the cycle of life that is going around. He's going about doing what he has to, but nothing affects his being.
You're right, but I'm expecting a specific word, and that word you've not said, but you are saying the same thing. What it means is, whenever philosophically we talk about birth, birth means it will definitely, that which has been born will have to die. Right? So birth means death. And in between birth and death, there are various other modifications. So whenever you say birth, it means all changes, any change. Today, every change seems to toss us, seems to affect us. Supposing I say instead of Tuesday, can we have the class on Thursday? Maybe some of us will get heart attack also. I don't know. I'm just exaggerating. In other words, any change. For example, somebody says, instead of 10 o'clock, now it's become 10:15. Supposing your child needs to be picked up at 12:15, not at 12. Then instantly, ultimately you may do something to get accustomed to that. But instantly, there's a little bit of botheration, right? So these are all very mundane examples, but serious changes are there. So life means uncertainty, right? Another word for life is uncertainty. Anything can happen any minute to any one of us. That's what life is. So this is the fact of life. You can't change, you can't make this life which is full of uncertainty to certainties. You can plan, program, but things can go this way, that way. Nothing is in our hands. So what happens in the case of a Jnani? For him also life presents a lot of uncertainties. But these changes, these modifications, these changes doesn't affect him. Even here, means in this life, while living, that's why I was telling you, to talk about rebirth. That is next life. Supposing somebody tells you, next life everything will be fine for you. This life, you work hard. Right? So I don't know, what is the point here? In fact, one of my cousin, you know, when he was very, very small, he asked me this question. We were watching a movie. He said, "Arey, tell me one thing. All these movies, mostly what we watch, villains are having blast of a time. They are just having most of the detailed ways. Villains are having unbelievable time. Heroes struggling, sweating, really going through lots of pain. Finally, he kills that villain. That fellow was asking me, my cousin, it's better to be a villain than enjoy your life and one day suddenly die. Rather than struggle, and finally, just before you die, to succeed, what's the point? You know? See, it's not like that. Why are you living here? If the philosophy is not going to help you to be stress-free and happy and successful, what is the use of that philosophy? In the next gen, many things may be promised to you. You have no idea whether that will happen, that will not happen. It will all remain a theory. Isn't it? So here in this verse he says, if you attain that state, even here, means right now, in this life, birth is overcome. Birth is overcome means change doesn't affect you anymore. Birth, growth, disease, decay, and death. These are facts of life. Now, how do you deal with it? Many of us get immediately affected. Some of us get affected over a period of time. One who knows how to rise above these changes. Rise above these changes doesn't mean in his life these changes will not be there. In his life also these changes will be there. But just like how a ship is sailing on the ocean, various experiences the ship goes through. Huge waves, small waves, no waves, cyclone, this, that. But the captain is able to nicely take the ship from one shore to another. Exactly like that in our life, there will be so many waves, so many changes. All these changes are different waves. For a period of time, maybe there are not much change. Sometimes that starts worrying us. You know, if in your life, lots of changes are happening, you may be very busy handling them. And suddenly no problem is there. You will start getting worried. And if you go to a psychologist, he will say, "What have you come here for? I have no problem, that's why I am here for." Because now, suddenly you get into that kind of a thing.
Yes, sir, used to be.
Maybe something, because they say, no, before a storm it is very, very dull and quiet. So you probably think maybe something is going to come. Anyways, we are affected by change. Change gives us that resisting mentality. So in his case, he has no resistance. He has overcome change. That's what it means.
So does that mean that that person doesn't feel a reaction, or they feel a reaction and then they deal with it?
Exactly. See, as far as anybody has got body, mind and intellect.
Yeah.
The affectation at the level of the body, mind and intellect will be there. But that affectation will not affect that person because he is insulated with the knowledge. Like electricity is passing through the wire, but that is insulated. If it is not insulated, you will get the shock. So like that, this knowledge plays as insulation. Knowledge doesn't mean information. Simply if you read Bhagavad Gita every day, per se, it will not provide you insulation. But if you reflect on that information, if you ask questions, why, when, what, in what context it is said, and you try to bring it into your life, every day little bit, then you will see that your life is getting coated with knowledge. Then that plays as insulation. So in your life also all these changes and many things will keep on be happening, but you will be able to take it on your stride and deal with it. You will be more cheerful. In fact, some people, when you look at them, you think they are not having any problem in their life because they are all the time cheerful. But if you really become a little close with them and then you come to know of what all they are going through, you will be wondering, my God, they are serious issues. Like some other, in some other class, they were telling me, a lady was diagnosed with breast cancer 11 years ago. And she was treated and all that. And now again, after 11 years, it's reoccurred. And some of the best doctors had given her some medicines. And it has really reacted so badly. And they had to remove the uterus immediately. You know, that sort of thing. And along with that, some other problems happened. And few doctors said, this has to be operated first and that has to be operated second. Some doctors said, no need. We'll give you anesthesia and this doctor will do this and that doctor will do simultaneously. And she's gone through all that. And she's going through terrible times. Yet they tell that you can't find her without smile, without cheer. All the time joking and all that. Like this, there are so many stories that we hear. So, and they won't talk about their problems to you at all. When you meet them, you won't know. And we may be having some small problem, the driver has taken one day off. Something like that. You understand? And we don't know what to do. And you know, different. Each person is different. That's what I'm trying to say. So, it doesn't touch them.
Guruji, another question, maybe not related to this. A lot of times they say a lot of the saints, the really renowned saints, they've had a very difficult, even health issues and other things. And they say that, I don't know, they say that either they take them away from everyone and handle it. You know, they take the negative energy into them so that they know they can handle it better. So, what?
Especially what you're talking about is, I've also heard about people who are into healing. Right, what they say is when they heal these masters, they take up all your karmas.
Negative.
That thing they also, it's only if you have got the capacity to take it up, you should do all these things. Otherwise you will get a new start suffering. Forget about that. Simple counseling, let me tell you. Right? You counsel so many people and everybody is coming and telling all sorts of issues. Some of them are really serious. And when you are counseling and you are dealing with them, your mental energy is definitely getting depleted. Right? You are spending some time and maximum consumer in your body is your brain. You know, when you do thinking, reflecting, you are really consuming a lot of energy. And other than that, you are hearing all sorts of problems. Now, if you do not have a little bit of objectivity, you will only start imagining and you hallucinating and you will only start going through problems. So, I've heard that few doctors who were treating people with psychiatric problems, they themselves ended up with psychiatric trouble. So, you know, if you day in and day out deal with these issues, if you do not have objectivity, the chances are you may get into serious trouble. So, even at the mundane level, it is there. So, that's what they say with reference to masters also. If they heal, they must be able to deal with that energy. Otherwise, you better not do it. These masters have that capacity.
No, because actually it's coming from the story of your cousin, you know, because we used to say there are so many saints and he used to say they've lived such a wonderful life and they have so much of issues, so many, you know, problems, ailments and problems and stuff.
That is one thing. just to talk from the other angle, many of us, we don't know what life the saints had. We only know because they are saints. Now we think they must have definitely had a wonderful life. Not necessary. For example, Valmiki, I think his original name was Ratnakar.
Yeah.
Right. Now, he was a bandit. So, what makes us believe? I'm not saying every saint is like that. There could have been saints like some stories we've heard about Adi Shankara and all that. They must have from the beginning only a different kind of a lifestyle. But there may be people who might have been completely different.
And some like changes
there. I'm told Swami Chidananda went to Rishikesh. He was a freelance journalist. Right? He had come to Rishikesh only to expose the Swamis. You understand? Each one has a different lifestyle. Now, just for argument's sake, why can't you even conceive somebody who's become a saint eventually, having in this Jamma itself been a playboy before? Why should it always be that that person should have been,
he was a
from the birth, very, very pious life? Not necessary. But once a person has evolved, his past might have certain effects on his body. If he has been a heavy smoker before, just because he's become a saint now, are you with me? His body probably will go through certain effects. But as far as he is concerned, he's able to deal with it. We are told that Swami Ramana Maharishi had carbuncle.
And?
Some sort of issue with his body. Even Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, they say that he had TB.
Even Murari Babu had cancer.
That I don't know.
Murari Babu had throat cancer or something in the last stages.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, see, these are all things that happen at the body level, mind level. Different karmas, effects might come up. But for all practical purposes, as far as they are concerned, you wouldn't even know that they are going through these kind of issues. How much body pain they may have. You don't know. You understand? So, that is because they have got internally the capacity to be objective and but the capacity to be insulated. So, how does it matter if they are going through these struggles or not? In fact, this is what their greatness is. They may be having so many more problems, and yet they are able to be a comfort zone for many more people. You know, they, like, you keep all your sorrows with you and only share your joys with others, and are also able to be a comforting person whosoever comes and gives their trouble to you, you know, discussing troubles and things like that. That shows that you have more capacity to absorb and deal with it. Otherwise it's not possible. That's why it's even a simple thing like general counseling. Day in and day out, you are being told with all sorts of problems. You have the capacity to digest. Otherwise, what will happen? You may lose your sleep.
So, which means you're just being, you need to be.
Totally objective. Give solutions and then understand life and then carry on. That comes only with your strength.
So, that is also what this whole verse is coming to learn to live objectively so that
That's what I'm saying. When you live, when you become a jnani, who is interested in liberation, especially youngsters? If you say moksha, please leave me alone. Firstly, what is moksha? You know? So, the thing is, people are fed up, especially in the modern world with so much of competition and this and that, and you go and talk about moksha and this and that, they say, like, leave me alone, I'm not interested. They associate, or they're probably made to associate Gita with only those kind of things. Here the verse is saying, here, even here, birth is overcome. What does that mean? It means, in this life, it is at this very moment, now, the change will stop affecting you. Not change will stop happening to you. That cannot happen. As long as you live in this world, you will go through ups and downs, things happening to you. But they will not affect you. Why will they not affect? He says, even here birth is overcome by those whose mind rests in evenness. Inside ko change kar diya, you know, it's able to take. Like, I don't know if you've seen some of the huge flyovers and bridges, they are given little flexibility. You know, they'll talk about it in physics. Otherwise, they'll break. You know, these things are traveling and the heavy load is going. The bridge is going a little bit like this. Why? It's able to take that shock. If it's too rigid, it will break. Are you with me? So this knowledge has made adjustments internal. A lot of us are trying to keep on changing the external world. Many houses you see, some people keep changing the house also. Or demolish the house, either change the house from one locality to another. Or demolish the house and rebuild. Depends on how much and what you can afford. Other thing is, change the curtains, change the sofas. If you can't change the sofas, change the upholstery. Keep on changing. Or change the, this year the sofa is facing this side. Next year the sofa is facing that side. Something or the other. Right. We are not saying you don't do all those things, but these are not solutions. These can be temporary methods. Ultimately, what is the solution?
Acceptance.
Inside ko change karo. Like Mahatma Gandhi says, be the change that you wish to see. That's in a different context. But at the end of the day, it is changing your inside. That is possible. What is in your control? A simple thing that we need to ask in many contexts, which we don't. Especially when we go through problems. When somebody is going through problems, you will say all these things. When we go through problems, in this situation, what is under my control? What is not under my control? It's a simple question that we need to ask. Whatever is under my control, whatever steps I need to do, I take and do it. What is not under my control, then where I can take help from? And in this category of what is not under my control, is there somebody else who can help me to control that, then I go there. But if this is something that is not in anybody's control, right, then I accept that. Then you develop that sort of strength within and you carry on dealing with it. You know? That's what you're supposed to do. There are many doctors, they themselves may be patients. And soldiers, you know, who have their personal problems, but they keep aside for the sake of the country and go and do their duty. So many stories we hear like that, isn't it? So that shows the inner strength. So all that he's trying to say is, with those whose minds rest in evenness, inside ko even kar diya, outside can never be even. Remember this. That is the problem. Like that story, instance that happened between King Akbar and Birbal. They said, no? Akbar drew a line and said, make it short without touching it. And Birbal simply came in through a longer line. In other words, in life, everything is relative. I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. It's all relative. So inside is where you can find perfection. Outside there is no perfection. If you start trying to make things perfect outside, then struggle to improve. But you can't make it perfect. It's already perfect from within each one. You understand? So if you try to, that doesn't mean you don't bring about changes outside. while bringing about changes outside, you should understand very clearly, without bringing about that inner adjustments, inner change, inner strength, outside changes will have no meaning. That's all it means. And that is why we keep saying this knowledge is a knowledge that falls under necessity, essential category, not under the category of importance. Because this is about strengthening the inside. Along with this, go into the other category of knowledge which falls under the important category, which is dealing with the outside things and things like that, bringing about certain external changes. You need to do that also. Then it will be even better. So he says, whose mind rests in evenness, for them, even here, they have overcome birth. Means all changes. Brahman is indeed spotless and equal. The deepest core of your personality is where you find equanimity and perfection. There is, in everything else, there will be some spot or the other. Spot means there will be some imperfection. The more you become perfect, what will happen to you? Subtler imperfections in you, you start noticing. Isn't it? When you are gross, you may be justifying, or you may be even not aware that there is anything wrong with you. What is wrong here? Nothing wrong in me, nothing wrong in me. And supposing you realize there is something wrong and you start developing, then you start seeing little more. Then first thing that happens is you will stop talking ill about anybody else. Because you started seeing much more dirt within. The more perfect you become, subtler imperfection starts becoming, what do you call it? You become aware of it.
This is that mindful awareness which you were talking about.
So anything, you take one step, you start. There are people who will say, there's nothing wrong in my house, there's no dirt. They're not even aware, they're acclimatized. You know, a person who was 20 years old approached a guru. He wanted to learn this knowledge and he also wanted to become a guru. He was quite interested. So he went to the guru when he was 20. He said, please, I want to become your disciple. You must teach me this knowledge. Teach me this knowledge. He was keeping quiet. He was not telling him, yes, you are accepted. You are not accepted. Nothing. So he became even more restless. So he was like, please, you tell me anything I'll do, but please accept me as your disciple and teach me this knowledge. He said, just only one thing. Why do you want to study this? He said, I want to study this and become a teacher like you. That's my inspiration. Acha, you want to become a teacher like me? Are you ready to be ridiculed for the next 25 years? Said, yeah. Thought about it and said, yes, I'm ready to be ridiculed for the next 25 years. Which means, till about 45. So then, he became curious. Tell me, what happens after that 25 years? He said, you will get used to it. You will get used to it. So you know, people, when we live in filth, we get acclimatized. They are living next to a gutter. And fine, no problem. What is the problem here? I am also worried, you understand? Things are not properly organized. They are fine. Why are you making such a big fuss? You always, you know, there are people who have never got into the train in that respective station in which they are supposed to board. Only in the next station they board, something like that. Means they have never ever been on time. You understand? And they won't even know. So, why are you making it such a big fuss? What's the problem? That is serious case. One thing is, you have a disease and you know it. Worst is, you have a disease and you don't even know it. That is dangerous. You understand? So, you get acclimatized. You get used to. Once you come to know and you start doing something about it, you start take a group seat and clean, and then you see lot more dirt. That's why a person who started developing himself or herself truly, honestly, cannot get into criticisms. Because they are seeing so much dirt in them. On what basis will I criticize anybody else? There is so much bad in the best of us. There is so much good in the worst of us. Therefore, it really behoves us to talk about the rest of us. So he says, Brahman is spotless and even. Unless and until you go to that core, you don't become spotless. Like Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. Everything in this universe, you will find some spot or the other. Because it's relative. Isn't it? It's all relative. You'll think if I go to 99 and then next step is 100. Once you reach 100, then immediately 1000. So the spotlessness is always equated in philosophy with reference to the inner core Brahman. So he says he has reached that world of spotless Brahman. Even if you go to heaven, it's not perfect. Nothing is perfect. When you read the story of Mahabharata, lots of people have this idea. Who could have Bhishma kept quiet when Draupadi was being disrobed in the parliament? Because they think Bhishma is perfect. Even to the perfection that Bhishma reached, we are not there in that level. Right? It is not that his character is any less. But he is not a 100% perfect human being. In the story of Mahabharata, perfect human being is Lord Krishna. Everybody else is great from that level. But they also have imperfections. Dronacharya has certain imperfections. That is what we learn from that story. So he says, Brahman is indeed spotless and equal. Therefore, they are established in Brahman. So unless and until you are established in the core of your personality, Brahman means the divine divinity within you, the pure consciousness within you. The subtler you go, the greater your personality is. The subtlest is Atma, Brahman. Once you have reached that, only then there won't be any spot. Otherwise there will be some spot or the other. So that's what he says. These people who have realized the self, they have reached that state of Brahman. Even while living in this body. So in other words, what he is saying is, now, right now, you can achieve that. Always, Bhagavad Gita has been maintaining, it really doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't really matter what your debt, how much debt you have. Right now, if you seriously start working and consistently do that, you will finish it off. So, your past doesn't matter beyond the point. What matters is how you proceed in your present.
So, what we say the first step is? You had started it. The first step is?
First step is what?
For trying to...
First, realize where you stand. I don't know. I am imperfect. And I start making myself perfect. And that is going within and not without. Without, whatever we can do, we keep doing. But the real solution is in going inside. And once you reach that highest perfection, Brahman, which is possible in this life, and to anybody it is possible. It was possible to Ratnakar. It was possible to Vishwamitra. You understand? It is not just possible only for Adi Shankara. It is possible to all kinds of people. But the most important first step is begin the process. Don't sit and worry about your past. I have done this in the past, that in the past. Nothing matters. So he says, even here it is possible. So therefore they are established in Brahman. They have reached that state of ultimate perfection. Next verse.
na prarishye priyam prapya na prarishye priyam prapya no vijay prapya chapriyam no vijay prapya chapriyam stira buddhira sammoonah stira buddhira sammoonah brahma vibrahmani sthitah brahma vibrahmani sthitah na prarishye priyam prapya no vijay prapya chapriyam stira buddhira sammoonah brahma vibrahmani sthitah. With steady intellect, the whole idea is to build our intellect to a state of steadiness. Little bit we know, but it is not yet become steady, it is not yet become established. So with steady intellect established in Brahma, you know, it is not as if we do not have the intellect, but the intellect is not steady always. Sometimes when it is not available, we do all sorts of things. Then it becomes available. So we need to establish ourselves in it. Till we get that establishment, we have to continue. That is the problem. Actually, when you do not know the information, it's very interesting because new things you are learning. Now all the learnings are done. You know the words. Now thereafter to continue the sadhana becomes a little more difficult. That is why we go to next text. You don't need otherwise. Is there anything new that text is going to say? Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses. When we finish 700 verses, is there anything new which has not been covered in this text? Some new text will tell you. You may say it in a different angle maybe, with few more different examples. Concepts are same. End of the day you have to go within. You have to do sadhana. But mind gets used to the words. You understand? Therefore we say, okay, next text. Some other text. But end of the day, it becomes so difficult once you know the words, once you know what is going to happen and all that. But inside, doing the effort and changing the inside is very difficult. We always want to change the outside, because that is relatively easy, but it is an impossible exercise. This is not easy exercise, it's a difficult exercise, changing the inside. But that is where the permanent solution is. So he says, with steady intellect established in Brahman, the undeluded knower of Brahman. In other words, if you know Brahman, you will be undeluded. If you are deluded and yet think that you know Brahman, but delusion is continuing. What is delusion?
False state of mind.
What is the delusion that we are in?
We know everything.
Yeah, everything is going on because of us or something like that. And then you give yourself so much importance.
See, a person who in waking state is a multimillionaire. But in the dream, he is dreaming to be a beggar. So he's begging on the streets, people are saying, chalo, chalo, chalo. And some people are spitting on him, people are saying, get lost from here, kicking him. All sorts of insults he is going through. Begging for 1 rupee and all that on the streets. But actually, in his actual state, he's a multi-millionaire. Isn't it? Something like that. When you are essentially that divinity and Brahman, yet we are deluded to believe that we are this body. We don't assess ourselves from our potential.
we assess ourselves from our perception. And very often not even from our perception, from somebody else's perception. If he had some problem with his eyes, and you go along with this perception, what a stupidity it is. And throughout the world people are suffering from this. We assess ourselves from somebody else's perception. And if we have jaundice, you wouldn't know. Isn't it? So they are going to see from their own judgmental mentality. So then you give it to that, and that fellow says, this is exactly what it is. They have decided what is passion. Who is he or she somewhere sitting deciding what is passion? Do any one of us even think? You are like in delusion. You buy that. You are made to believe. Before 1982-93, whatever that period, Indian ladies were not beautiful or what? You understand? Suddenly, and now, no more Indian ladies are beautiful. Now they have gone to some other country. You understand? There is a different marketing. They have their own. We are not blaming them, but that's a different bulky. But you buy, you fall for so many people's opinion. Once you are, then you are deluded. You don't know. You also start looking from that angle. Then for you, that only seems fashion. That only seems right. And the biggest challenge and problem is when you are deluded, you don't know you are deluded. And to the extent you are deluded, and if you are deluded deeply, you don't know that you are deluded. A madman doesn't know that he is mad. And this is the problem. So this is more almost impossible exercise, what Krishna is trying here. To talk about delusion to people who are in delusion.
So what is the way out of this?
So if you are able to appreciate that, even doubt, that yes, there is something that they are trying to say. You know, little ray of intellect is there, and that is tapped, and then you start asking questions. Then you can slowly try to come out. That's why we say, first, at least see this. Understand that when I am in delusion, I don't know that I am deluded. And how do I know that this is the right thing? Who decides? For example, the mundane things only you start. That's why I started with that example of fashion. How do they decide that this is the one is fashion? And then the whole world is deluded. Once they make you believe that, then you are ready to pay anything. You know, that's how the whole thing goes in life. All sorts of delusion that happens. And very often, a subtle delusion that happens to make you believe that this is good and this is not. Then after so many years, another theory comes that what you believed as very good actually is very, very detrimental. Especially with reference to food habits and all that. But by the time you've been brought up only with that kind of a food, are you with me? Because we don't exercise our thinking. First step is question everything. Never get close to a guy who says, don't question on you. You should question everything. Not arrogantly. How do we do on that? Question. Learn to question. Otherwise it's impossible. So he says, with steady intellect established in Brahman, the undeluded knower of Brahman. When you become Brahman, then you, when you wake up, with reference to that example, then you are not in delusion anymore. You know, my God, what a stupidity, man. You are in a shock. I dreamt that I was a beggar. This actually happened to King Janaka as per the story. They say King Janaka one night dreamt that he was a beggar. And he woke up and it was so vivid, the dream. So he immediately called his ministers. He said, "My God, I just had a dream. It is still so vivid. So I am having this question. So please, some of you, solve this riddle for me. Am I King Janaka who dreamt that I was a beggar? Or am I that beggar now dreaming to be the king?" You don't get such questions. In a way, it's good. But he could not solve this problem. He had this problem. So they said, "We don't have answers to your question. We don't know. But we know that there is a Mahatma who can answer your question. Please come with us. He will not come to you. We have to go to him." See, Ashtavakra. They took him. He asked the same question. Am I King Janaka who dreamt that I was a beggar? Or am I that beggar now dreaming to be the king? Which is real? I don't know. Then, what do you think Sage Ashwagandha said?
Neither.
You are neither King Janaka who dreamt that you were a beggar, nor are you that beggar who is now dreaming to be the king. You are Atma. That is the real state without delusion. Both these are different kinds of delusion. Somebody is deluded by drugs, somebody is deluded by alcohol, somebody is deluded by something else. That's all. But everybody is in a state of delusion. As long as you are running to find happiness outside you, you are in a state of delusion. Because you have not still realized that you are that happiness. As long as you believe that something other than you can give you solution, including ashrams, you understand, including gurus, you become dependent. You are deluded in a way. There are people who believe that when this few months pass, everything will be solved. There are astrologers who say so. You understand? Then they wait for that period to change. I don't know to what extent our delusion can go, but all that he is saying is undeluded knower of Brahman. He knows very clearly that he is happiness. He thereafter does not run after things to find happiness. He thereafter contacts everything out of happiness. When you become a knower of Brahman, how do you know? You are into sport. Everything becomes a sport for you thereafter. Thereafter, you are not into things to find happiness. On one side, you are studying Bhagavad Gita and you are lecturing on Bhagavad Gita, and yet you are trying to find happiness. That means you have still not known Brahman. You have come to know about Brahman through somebody, through books, through people. That is different. Knowing Brahman means becoming Brahman. Becoming happiness itself. Thereafter, you are not in a state of delusion anymore. So he says, that undiluted Brahman, whose intellect is steadily established, neither rejoices on obtaining what is pleasant, nor grieves on obtaining what is unpleasant. Now this pleasant and unpleasant are at the realms of the mind, realms of the body. The realms at the body level and at the mind level. At the body level and mind level, they will be pleasant and unpleasant. Now, in winter, in Delhi, heater is pleasant. Air conditioner is
unpleasant.
By chance, somebody switched on the AC, everybody, "Switch off!" Immediately they'll say, "Are you mad?" But during summer,
air conditioner is pleasant, heater is unpleasant. So the world is full of these things.
Opposites.
Opposites. Pleasant and unpleasant. At that realm. But when you go beyond that realm, pleasant and unpleasant cannot give you any joy or grief. Because inside you have understood that you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect. So, how to come out of delusion? Start questioning. When we are in delusion, for example, if you are terribly hungry, I come and give you a can of Coke. Usually what you do? You just open the can. If you are unable to open, you bring one nail and then somehow make a hole and then you will simply drink. You won't even read the content. Isn't it? Many of us, we don't read the content. How much sugar is there in it? You might have studied what happens when you drink so much of sugar, how it, what happens in your body after that. But you don't ask any question, you don't even read, you don't pause and read. Simply. So now, what you have to do? You start questioning everything. Don't accept anything blindly. Start questioning everything. That is how you can slowly get back to Brahman. Because the moment you start questioning, you are bringing about little distance. That's the practical way of bringing about distance. And only slowly, slowly through that, you can extricate yourself from this problem. There's no other way. Blind beliefs will not help you. So he says, they neither rejoice on obtaining what is pleasant. So when at the body level certain things gives us pleasure, we don't question. Do we? When at body level certain things bring unpleasantness, then also we don't question. If you question, you probably understand, yes, it brings unpleasantness now, but it is good for me. Yes, it brings pleasant feeling now, but it is detrimental for me. That will come, that next stage will come only when you question. The person who has reached Brahman for him, it happens spontaneously. It's happening automatically. He's not sitting and asking questions and then understanding. But to get there, you have to start from this. Today, we say, okay, a new beginning. Now I'm going to start questioning everything that I do from the time I wake up till the time I go to bed. Somebody told me this, I don't know whether it is true. When, I don't know whether Oxford or Cambridge or somewhere from there, somebody had come and they were lecturing on how to build your economy. Things like that. So one of the businessmen, I don't want to name the person, but I was told that he asked this question, but I don't know. I believe he asked after the session or during the session, he asked, you are coming and giving this lecture to tell us how to improve economy and all that. But how come in the very same country where the university is, the economy has gone bad? So how am I to understand that your theory is going to be helpful? When in your own country, where the university is, the economy has become very bad. We don't question. Supposing you have a certain value, for certain things. And let's say, for example, well-groomed, nicely dressed, speaking logically, you know, with a certain accent. Supposing you had a value for it, then you will start believing everything that person says must be true. So in the areas where you have certain conditionings, you will not question. If the other person is little clumsy, but whatever he is talking is truth, you are not even listening. So this is what is happening.
From the time we wake up till the time we go to bed, we are going through various pleasant situations and unpleasant situations. We never question. We never question.
It's almost become like blasphemous to question. It's sin if I question.
A lot of time we are just not aware of.
Firstly, we are not aware. That's why I said you are opening the can and you are drinking, and you are even aware, not even aware that you just had a.
Maybe after some time.
And within few minutes, you are drinking 10 more. I mean, you are doing all sorts of things. You are not even aware. But first thing you do is, hereafter, anything that I do or I don't do, I ask why. Why do I do this?
Next is, even if I think I shouldn't do and I'm doing, at least I should be aware of that fact that I shouldn't be doing it, yet I'm doing it consciously. Then there is a possibility at least for us to extricate ourselves. Now we need to teach our children to question. Very often they say, I hear this. During our generations and all, whatever our parents said, we have to listen. As if that is some, I don't know.
Some certificate.
Some certificate or something. We cannot question. There is no choice. We cannot question. You are not saying it as a negative thing. You are saying it as a very, very positive thing. Many of us. You must question. If you don't question, there can be no growth. All revolutions happen because of questioning. Better things, science is based on questioning. Vedanta, there's an Upanishad called Prashna Upanishad. Question. And yet, mostly in the religious circles, we think we should not question. The question is just bad. Why are you born in my family? I don't understand. You question? This is how you talk in front of elders. Of course, questioning need not be in a, they call, arrogant way. That is bad. That sort of a thing need to be taught to children, no doubt. But you cannot stifle the questioning spirit. That's what makes you a man. That's what makes you a human being. The ability to question, unravel things, give it to inventions and discoveries. And the greatest discovery of the self within, you need to begin with questioning. So when pleasant situation, unpleasant situations I'm going through, from the time I wake up till the time I go to bed, I need to question. When I question, then I don't go by just what is obvious. The bulk of the people go by what is obvious. Like when there is a puppet show, people are all involved in the puppet show. The hero puppet dies, everyone is crying. Some people know that there are threats attached to these puppets. Have you been? So they're not that affected. Rarely a person knows that it is actually one person who's connected the threads to various fingers and he's playing. The
they are little more detached. Because they are not just gone by what is obvious. We keep using words in common parlance, sun rises, sun sets, but actually it is untrue. There is no sun rising, there is no sun setting. Earth is revolving, as a result of which these things are happening, that is what we know. But there was a time when they believed the sun is revolving around the earth.
And also that it is straight, it is not round.
Exactly, earth is flat. So what I am saying is, anything that looks obvious, and the more obvious it is, the more skeptical you should become. Six blind men of Hindustan told me, they went to see what an elephant looks like. All the fellows are blind. One fellow touches the side of the elephant. The elephant is very like a wall. One fellow touches the ears and he says, elephant is like a fan. One fellow touches the legs. Elephant is very like a tree, a trunk. Elephant is very like a snake. Elephant is very like a rope. This is what they say. And the interesting thing is, in between, they say, even the blindest can say. Even the who deny the fact, who can? The more obvious things are, the more it needs to be subjected to scrutiny. Because you are in that delusion. So that is why we say, don't blame the fellow who is cheating you. You are capable of being cheated, so you are. You understand, you are cheated. You never question. If Swami Ramakrishna goes to the extent of saying, if you place the trust on anything else other than Atman, your trust is bound to be breached. Anything other than Atman. Which means what? To question, understand the nature. This is the nature. Nothing wrong in partaking with what is pleasant. But understand, then you are able to deal with it, you are able to handle it. That is what he is saying here. See, every verse must try to little bit bring it to our level and then understand. So when he says, a person who has reached Brahman, he neither rejoices nor grieves, obtaining pleasant and unpleasant. So how do I do that from my level? From my level, I should at least start from today, hereafter, anything I do, I don't do. I question. Nobody else decides what I wear. It may happen that I wear the same thing what they also advocate, but I decided it. Who is anybody? It's not arrogance. Why should I mortgage my intellect?
Many times it happens when you try to question, you come up with two answers. Or you might think that this is right and that is not right for you to do. Then which of the two? I mean, then
you
again,
follow whatever your intellect says at that time.
Intellect.
If it's a serious issue, like in health issues, you take second opinion. So you think about it for a while and then come to the conclusion. You may not rush. But compared to doing without questioning, is it better?
Yeah.
Is what you are supposed to do? That's the way, you know, in the VT book, Swamiji would have given this example. Your car headlamp can illumine for 25 feet, something like that. But you have decided to use the car and go in the night from Delhi to Amritsar. About 500 kilometers. But the car is capable of illuminating only 25 meters. Yet you reach the destination safely. You can use that light which can only show you
clearly in some 25 meters. But using that itself, you can go up to 100 circles, or even more in life. Similarly, your intellect today may be only this much. Use it. It is not how much intellect you have, it is how much you use it.
You don't have to become like giant intellect and then only you start using it. No need. A day will not come like that.
You start question. That's what I'm saying. If you question and then you may make mistakes, doesn't matter. But at least do this process. Then you will see in your life external things and situations and people handling your life will reduce. Find out everything. We will be surprised once we start questioning how much we are taking things for granted. How much others' opinion matters so much for us.
That is true, because someone says, if you can't make you start thinking, oh,
everything.
Wow. Because it's something very simple.
You don't ask a question as to what is health. Each one has their own definition of health. You ask yourself, what is health? You ask yourself, what is fashion? You ask, what is life? Why don't you lead your life yourself? Why do you want others to lead your life or dictate as to how you should live? Who determines that? Even if this simple willpower we do not have, forget about achieving Brahman, Atman and all that. That requires tremendous strength. This religious journey is not for weak-hearted people. If we are weak, Vedanta is not for us, because it is plunging into the unknown. Even in the things that we can clearly see, we are not
seeing
and we are not living our life. We are being led by the articles and this and that. You understand? There are always, you see, the mass of public is influenced, and there is very rarely a very small percentage of people who are influencing. This is always the case. And we are all influenced at various levels in various ways. So in fact, when things are pleasant, we don't question. When things are unpleasant, maybe we will question. Even there, we don't really question.
We wonder, why me?
Why should I go through this? Is there any way I can avoid this? We won't question whether it is appearing to be unpleasant and it is good for me. We will not. We will probably question how all we can avoid this. If you start questioning, which means you are starting to take responsibility for your life. Then when you do maths, in some of the books, they give you problems and then the answers at the back. And many of us, when we solve these problems, we want to look and check whether the answer is correct. You don't have to check. There are people who will never check. They might have purposely printed, instead of 38, which is the right answer, they would have printed 83. Now you are somehow trying to make your answer 83. For what? If you can't be courageous, it is better to be courageous and make mistakes than be covered and not make mistakes. Columbus was courageous, so he might not have come to India, but he went to America. You know, we require that strength. The day that strength comes, then you can start about
traveling in the spiritual journey.
In the worldly journey itself, we do not have that strength to stand up and ask questions.
So how to deal with this pleasant and unpleasant situations? When? Okay, it may be pleasant, it may be unpleasant. It may be appearing to be good, it may be appearing to be bad. Let me question. Unbiased thinking. A judge is supposed to do that, right? Otherwise he cannot be judge. Usually many criminals hire the best of lawyers, and the best of lawyers, you know, they are presenting the case from their viewpoint, and they may present the case really nice, and if you really listen to them, it looks like, my God, what they are saying is right. You don't know whether they are purposely hiding some things or they are actually right, you don't know. But a judge is supposed to see through all these things. He is supposed to be unbiased. Chintan. So be unbiased to our experiences. Oh no, I know him so well. And then more careful you have to be. Because in those areas we think, can't be wrong.
Right.
You know, in the Discovery Channel, they were showing the other day, a lady is interviewing a person. She was dressed up like you actually. That's all of her clothes. Not really. Suppose, and what they did was, I'm supposing Anu is interviewing me. Similar people, and similar clothes, and from the same angle, camera is shooting. And when they show side by side, they are not able to think that they are different. They showed Bill Clinton, the picture, behind Bill Clinton, Al Gore is standing, the picture. And the picture is in such a way that it looks like both are Bill Clinton. You will be surprised the kind of illusions that we go through. So that's what he's saying. We are duped by our senses. They are so alert, they don't get duped by the senses. When the demon shouted and Lord Ram was asked by Sita, after Sita to chase that golden deer, but Lord God shot the demon, the deer. Demon was in the deer form. He shouted in Rama's voice, "Oh Lakshmana!" Lakshmana was not in delusion. He was very clear. Ram can never be in trouble. He was very clear. This must be some demon too. But Sita, she said, "Go. Your brother Ram is in trouble." And when Lakshmana says, no, he cannot be in trouble, this must be some work of some demon. She suspected Lakshmana, Sita. So later on, when Sita was, after killing Ravan and all that, Ram asked Sita to go into the pyre, to come out and show her purity. A lot of people think Ram suspected Sita. Ram did not suspect Sita. Ram wanted Sita to remove that impurity which he had when she spoke like that to Lakshmana. Lakshmana was such a great character. He had left his wife and came to forest to serve Ram and his wife Sita. And Lakshmana, when Ram and Lakshmana are searching for Sita, which direction she could have gone, all the jewels which are thrown, they are showing. Only anklet when they are shown, Lakshmana says, yes, this is Sita's, because he has never seen her face. He has always seen only Sita's feet. And such a person, Sita's feet. Because when we are in delusion, we don't know what we are doing. And that Ram wanted that purity to come into Sita. And that's why that experimentation, not that Ram suspected Sita, as it is widely believed. That is why we call Maryada Rama, Maryada Purushottama. You understand? So the thing is, the more pleasant, the more undoubting a thing is, unsuspicious a thing is, remind yourselves, I can't stop questioning. After questioning, do it. We'll meet next week. पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ओम शांति शांति शांति. कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि. हरि ओम.